You're listening to RTI Audio, powered by Rocky Top Insider. This is the RTI Press Pass with Rick Butler and Ryan Shumpert.
Welcome into the Rocky Top Insider Press Pass, your Tennessee podcast getting you ready for all things coming up in the football season this year. Today is Wednesday, July the 13th. My name is Rick Butler, joined with me as always by Ryan Shumpert. Ryan, my friend, how are you doing? Where are you? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Back home in Nashville this week. Headed back to Knoxville on Thursday, so been all over the place, but I think about to hopefully get a little more settled than back in Knoxville this weekend.
You have been quite the man on the move since baseball season has ended. I imagine it's been nice to travel around a little bit, see some different stuff. Now, I got to ask this quick question before we get into, by the way, this is going to be a Tennessee football schedule game by game breakdown. That is exactly what's coming up in just a quick minute. But before we get there, Ryan, you've played a lot of golf so far since kind of the summer has began. What is your favorite place that you've played? I feel like you've been all the way from, you know, East Tennessee, even Florida a little bit. What's your favorite place that you've gone to?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. You're right. I've played over in Gatlinburg and then down in Florida. So I'm obviously Knoxville and Nashville where I've been. I'll go probably the most fun place to play was at the Raven down in Sandestin. They have web.com, Corn Ferry Tour tournament there every year, and I never played that course. That was a fun and challenging place to play. It was miserably hot that day, but it's still a cool course. And then I guess maybe a more local one, played Island Point a few times this summer and really enjoy playing over there. I think it's a great bang for your buck.
There you go. The Florida one, the Raven, is one that, you know, obviously so many people have always heard about, so super cool that you got to go down and play there. If you want to talk a little shop about golf with Ryan, he is at rshump00 on the Twitter machine. But Ryan, it is the middle of July. We have SEC Media Days coming up next week, which, by the way, you and I will be at in person. So make sure you're following us and Rocky Top Insider for all the latest news on that. And if I turn around behind me right now in my home, I got Tennessee, Texas on the TV because it is the Tennessee takeover. It's just kind of a good day. There's a lot of fun things going on right now, a lot of fun things to look forward to, and we're about to get into a little Tennessee schedule talk.
Yeah, no, I don't know if this was done on purpose or not, but flipped on the takeover, you know, it starts at midnight and runs through 11:59 p.m., and again, I don't know if it's done on purpose, but the first game, the midnight game, was Tennessee versus South Carolina football, and I thought about that was literally I could not have chosen a better event, better game. I mean, it's mostly games. They have a few other things sprinkled in there as well. They could have chosen a better one because, you know, it's kind of people are, I'm on Central Time, so I was up a little bit longer. But, you know, some people, especially, you know, college age kids, high schoolers are up at that time. But you're probably not anything that starts at midnight. You're not going to watch the whole game. Well, no. That all the excitement from the Tennessee-South Carolina game was in the first quarter. So you watch about 40 minutes of the game. Tennessee's up 28-0. And you go, all right, I'll go to bed. From there, I think South Carolina won the game like 21-14. Obviously, you know, Tennessee kind of took the foot off the gas pedal a little bit. And again, I don't know if that was done on purpose, but I was thinking about that last night when I flipped that on for a second. And I wonder if they had made that connection, made that thought as that would be a good game for that extent, because it was obviously one of Tennessee's better wins of the season. And it was just over by the end of the first quarter, essentially. So it was a great game to have that spot.
They also debuted the dark mode jerseys that game, if I remember correctly.
That's true.
Uh-huh. Man, when you had started that statement, I had no idea where you were going with it. I was like, I cannot figure out why Tennessee, South Carolina would be the good midnight game. Like, that makes no sense. Where is he going? And then that makes sense. Tennessee got all the action out of the way after the first quarter. Same kind of against Missouri. But if you want to, if you're listening to this in time, Tennessee, Kentucky on the gridiron from November coming up at 7 p.m. tonight. Ryan, we got to talk a little bit about South Carolina. We got to talk a little bit about Kentucky. Those are two key games to Tennessee's upcoming schedule. We know what they did last year. We know the 7-5 record with a bowl loss to Purdue to make it 6-6 overall in Josh Heupel's first year. Just kind of before we get into the game, where are your overall expectations sitting without naming any numbers or anything yet, but just what's kind of the feeling going into Tennessee? What do you want to see from them just overall before we go ahead and start the predictions?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think it's continuing the growth they had on offense last year. And I don't think that necessarily numerically you're going to see any huge jumps, but consistency throughout the game, better second quarter is where I think Tennessee came out obviously so hot and played bad second quarters, but even offensively, they did not play very well in second quarters. And I think you look at short yarded situations too, being a third, fourth and short, Tennessee was not very good there a year ago. I think some of that comes from an offensive line that I think was solid last year and maybe better than expected, but still wasn't great. And then two, I don't think Josh Heupel got particularly creative in his short yardage play calls. And then defensively, that's where I think there's tons of room to grow. And with tons of room to grow, I don't think any of that growth is really definitive. I don't think you look at Tennessee's roster defensively and say, wow, yeah, this is a significantly better unit on defense. But I think it's a lot of guys back. They lose a handful of important guys. I think most – obviously Matthew Butler was really good, but you have a lot of bodies back on the defensive line. I don't worry as much about that. But in the secondary – secondary wasn't great last year, and Theo Jackson had a fantastic year, and Alante Taylor had a really good year too. Both those guys are gone. So how can Tennessee make tangible growth defensively? Because really, I mean, they don't have to be night and day. If they can just be better defensively, Tennessee will have a chance to have a successful season, I think.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that, especially kind of on the players' basis and on a basis of the schemes and what Tennessee wants to do from an offensive and a defense perspective. I will add on to that a little bit, but just maybe from more of a broad perspective. I think that looking at the schedule for Tennessee, there are certain games that Tennessee has an opportunity to establish something that either hasn't been frequent in the past or they just haven't had recently. I think that, you know, obviously we know that Florida is starting off the brand new Billy Napier era. This is an opportunity for Tennessee to establish a good starting point in that race. We know that in Josh Heupel's first season against Kentucky and South Carolina, so you're talking about Mark Stoops and Shane Beamer, Tennessee found wins against both of them last year. I think that if Tennessee can again beat Kentucky and South Carolina, those are two prominent teams in the SEC East that you are now starting to build a little bit of a precedent of beating. So I think that kind of looking over from a broad standpoint like that, that's something that I'm especially looking at just in at least the race of the SEC. But let's go ahead and get down into this thing. First game of the season, Ryan, Thursday, September 1st, Tennessee hosts Ball State. I don't think there's much to be said about this game except for I think it was really smart for Tennessee to put it on a Thursday again. I don't know, we've talked about this on a recent podcast, but look, you're jumping out ahead of the big fireworks and the big festivities on Saturday. You get a nice little primetime slot on TV. I think it creates some extra buzz in the city. I think this is a great move for Tennessee, and I don't see this being trouble as a season opener.
No, I don't either. And, you know, I think on a Thursday night, there's obviously pros and cons to that. You know, the non-Knoxville area, Tennessee fans probably don't like it, at least the ones who like to travel to the game. But, you know, from our perspective, it's fantastic. It gives us the ability to, you know, we don't get – you get to watch some, but we don't get to watch a ton of college football over the course of the year just because you're working on Saturdays. So should be fun to watch a lot of games on Saturday. And then obviously there's a couple, I think Florida State, LSU on Sunday, and there's always an ACC game on Monday night. I'm not sure who that is this year, but you're right. Ball State, you know, was 6-6 last year. Got beat pretty bad to Georgia State in the bowl game. I think a solid MAC team, the middle of the road MAC team, but certainly a team you expect Tennessee to take care of business. They do have their quarterback back. So not a ton of uncertainty or maybe a quarterback that's going to be able to handle playing in a bigger environment more than a brand new quarterback. They lost at Penn State last year, but like you said, I expect this is a game Tennessee should take care of easily. And you know, we talked about it last year, I think during the season, but just the way Tennessee's style of play is that, you know, I think Tennessee last year was better than, we'll say, Jeremy Pruitt's second season. And maybe that's not even a good example because Jeremy Pruitt lost to Georgia State in the second season. But we saw how many times during Jeremy Pruitt era did we see, and obviously not that was his best team, but how many times did we see that you play these teams that and Tennessee wins, and a lot of times they weren't sweating out a victory, but just their style of play, they played a lot of games where they went, you know, 24-10 or 24-7, 30-10, and it was somewhat of a game going into the second half. And in last year, I mean, even going to the games we just talked about, Missouri and South Carolina, not good SEC teams, or teams that struggled in SEC play. Tennessee was able to put it on quickly with their offense. And I think that, you know, that's what I always say. Really more, I feel like you hear basketball and football. But anytime someone's trying to pull a big upset, you want to put them away early and kind of take away their will. And I think Tennessee's offense should be able to do that and make it a stress-free Thursday night to open the season.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And one of the biggest reasons why you feel good about where Tennessee is starting. And again, you saw Tennessee win, 38-6 last year against Bowling Green in the opening game of the season. But at the same time, you still have a little bit of a quarterback question, right? We know that Joe Milton got the start. I don't think that, you know, people entirely knew that Hendon Hooker was eventually going to be what he was going to be. But that is not the case going into this year. I think just the simple fact that you know what Tennessee's quarterback is going to be, you know the success that they had last year, and you know their desire this offseason to continue to evolve that offense, I think that's a big starting point for Tennessee and kind of rolls right into one of the biggest storylines of week 2 for Tennessee, and that is when the Vols travel to go take on Pittsburgh. Now, last year, Pittsburgh finished 11-3, 7-1 in the ACC, but here's the big difference really for this year. Hendon Hooker, quarterback for Tennessee, is in. Kenny Pickett, quarterback for Pittsburgh, is out. That is to me, at least, that's a big shift in what this game could potentially be. Now, there's still a lot of factors. I think another one that could potentially benefit Tennessee is the fact that Pittsburgh made an offensive coordinator change. And this was a guy who was solid at Pittsburgh last year. Obviously, you saw the success that they had, but Narduzzi wanted to go a different route. So this is only going to be his second game as the signal caller for Pittsburgh. I think that's very fascinating, but certainly just the quarterbacks alone make this a really interesting matchup. But this is one that I've been torn on for a while because of picks that I want to make later in the schedule. I've been a little bit more torn about this one. Where are you sitting on it?
Yeah, I know. I think it's one of the handful of games that it feels like a toss up. It's one, I think if you flipped it, you know, the game was in Knoxville this year, I would feel a lot better about Tennessee's chances. And I think another thing that's huge, Jordan Addison, also the Blinnikoff winner, Pitt transferring to USC. And that just adds to a lot of turmoil, or maybe not turmoil, but a lot of turnover on the offensive side of the ball for the Panthers. And you lose Kenny Pickett. They bring in Caden Slovis, who, it's funny, I was joking about this with somebody the other day, and it's beside the point, but it feels like you got USC transfers starting everywhere at quarterback. Jackson Dart is going to be probably likely to start her at Ole Miss, and then you have JT Daniels, who obviously had a stop in there at Georgia, will be the starting quarterback at West Virginia, who will play Pitt week 1, funny enough. And I think that is another thing that maybe, I don't think it plays a huge deal in the game, but Tennessee you'll have an idea of what Pitt has after week 1. They have a test, their first game of the year, the backyard brawl rivalry game is back for the first time in a couple years. But overall, you look at it, and I think offensively, they lose a lot. Nick Kroll was fantastic tight end for them. I think had a really good game in Knoxville last year. Excuse me, Lucas Kroll, not Nick Kroll. And he's gone. So a lot of the top receivers, I think it's four of the top five pass catchers are all gone. And I think really what the strength of this Pitt team is going to be the defense, who was really, really solid last year. And obviously not a great ACC, but had one of the best defenses in the ACC. And they have a lot of guys back. And I think particularly a good defensive line, a lot of guys back from a defensive line that was strong last year. And I think that should be a good early test for Tennessee's offensive line. And especially you look at that right tackle spot, who's going to come in and start that spot, left tackle, with Darnell Wright moving from left tackle to right. And I think that's going to be a big time early season test for the offensive line, which is probably the biggest question mark on Tennessee's offense.
Yeah, I would say the same. And certainly looking at Pittsburgh as a team that, you know, we're just not as familiar with on a day-to-day, on a week-to-week schedule as not an SEC team. Man, you're right. One of the things that you pointed out that instantly caught my eye are the returning starters that they're bringing back. You're right. Certainly big pieces are missing. Kenny Pickett, Jordan Addison, a lot of the skill players that they have on offense. But man, a lot of that offensive line is experienced, and a lot of them played together last year as well. So I think that's going to be certainly a strength of theirs. Going to see how Tennessee's new-look defensive line battles up against that. I think, again, that's going to be a big test early in the season. All right, so what are you going to pick? Is this a win or a loss for Tennessee going north to play Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I'll go with a win. And I can't even remember. It's not Heinz Field anymore. They changed the name.
Yeah, it's tough. It starts with an name. A.
Do you have it? I mean, it's a terrible stadium. You went from just a – granted, it's a sponsor, so it can't be the best. But Heinz Field, which was, you know, synonymous with really the Pittsburgh Steelers, not the Pitt Panthers, but obviously they played their games there too. Nice, concise, and whatever. There's some other business about it. It's Suffolk Stadium now. It's terrible.
It's not.
But good. I'll go with Tennessee in the game.
Okay, I'm going to. Man, this one's really tough. I'm gonna take this one. I'm gonna pick this one as a loss for Tennessee. But it's because I have a little bit of something up my sleeves for later in the schedule. All right, moving on. Third game of the season, Akron. Not much to say there. Again, this is Tennessee comes back home after traveling on the road. You get another night game. So that one's going to be at 7 o'clock PM on the SEC network. Look, just early game in the season. I think this one that Tennessee rolls, we move on to bigger and better in week 4. What about you?
Yeah, same thing. And where Ball State was a middle of the road MAC team, Akron was a terrible MAC team a year ago. They went 2-10, I believe, lost their final 6 or 7 games to end the season. So this is one Tennessee should easily handle, and kind of in a similar sense of Pitt, you should get a similar kind of viewing or stepping stone of what they have. They played Michigan State the week before. So should be an easy win, I think, probably behind the UT Martin FCS matchup, the second easiest game on Tennessee's schedule.
Yep, that is pretty much exactly what I would agree with. Okay, so now that brings us to week 4. This is the game that a lot of people have circled for good reason. This is when Florida comes to visit Tennessee, Saturday, September 24th. Now, if you go back to last year, there are plenty of games you can look at Tennessee's 2021 schedule of games that Tennessee might like to have back. Florida, as a game as a whole, right? That is certainly one that Tennessee would like to have back. We know how Florida ended the season. Tennessee played them early in the season when things were a little bit more kept together there with Dan Mullen. This is an interesting one. And again, this is one that I go back to what I said at the beginning of the podcast. This is an opportunity for Tennessee to change a narrative that they've been stuck with for seemingly forever, for essentially what feels like my whole lifetime, besides that one win a couple of years ago in 2016. This is an opportunity where Florida is entering the Billy Napier era. Tennessee is just getting off and started with the Josh Heupel era. I think this is a big chance for Tennessee at home in front of what will be just a rowdy crowd. No matter if Tennessee is 3-0 or 2-1 going into that Florida game, I think it's going to be ridiculous no matter what. Again, I think that this is a huge opportunity for Tennessee to exercise plenty of the demons of the past and start a new streak. Now, certainly, Florida is going to bring talent, and we know that Billy Napier can, he can coach. What do you kind of expect from Florida when they come into Neyland week 4 of their first season under Napier?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head with the importance of the game, and it's probably been Tennessee's most important game for a decade. you go back to the 90s and in the early 2000s when both these programs were kind of the class of the league, and it was the most important game. But I kind of guess the thought that I was – going off of there is obviously Tennessee, they got the win in 2016, but a real long losing streak stretch to Florida, a real long losing streak and stretch to Alabama. And obviously you'd want to see Tennessee pull an upset or win some of those games, but there's not a whole lot of shame in Tennessee losing a ton of games to Alabama over the last 15 years. Not a whole lot of teams are beating Alabama. Florida, in kind of the first half of that stretch, was obviously really good with Urban Meyer. Last decade, there's been a lot of shame in some of the losses that Tennessee's had to Florida, or maybe not specific losses, but when you compile them, there are a lot of times that Tennessee's had great chances to win, and they haven't, and I think that's why this year stands out. It's the first-year coach. It's in Knoxville, and you don't know how things are going to go, but in theory, you think this is probably the most gettable Florida team you're going to see in some time, and you would expect Heupel to continue to make Tennessee better, but there's certainly same thing you could be said with Billy Napier at Florida, and they're in a lot less solid footing in year 1 as Heupel's program is in year 2. And to me, I think what worries me about this game, if you're Tennessee, is what Anthony Richardson can do. I mean, he's to me probably the biggest X factor in the whole entire SEC. I mean, played a little bit last year at quarterback, and he's just a dynamic player. His passing, his consistency, his accuracy, I think there's questions up in the air about that. But what he can do with his legs are simply phenomenal. And he didn't play a lot down the stretch of the season, ended up getting hurt. I think he did get one start in SEC play. It was kind of a quarterback battle between him and Emory Jones. But 401 rushing yards and 51 carries, averaging just under 8 yards a pop on the ground. And you go back and look at what Tennessee's defense struggled with last year. You go back and look at that Ole Miss game against Matt Corral where he ran for over 100 yards. And you go back at Will Levis had a lot of success running the ball against Tennessee. Anthony Richardson is a significantly better runner than either of those guys. And I think that makes that a huge concern. And I still think as bad as Florida ended the season, as maybe not as talented as they are compared to other Florida teams, I still think there's talent on this Florida team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And I think it's not going to be by any means an easy game. Certainly a game Tennessee can get, and I would expect Tennessee to be favored by a few points, but not going to be an easy one. And I think it's probably – not even probably. I think it is the most important game on Tennessee's schedule, and will really set the tone for the rest of SEC play with the SEC opener.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right when you touched on Anthony Richardson. I mean, a 6'4", 237-pounder. This guy is a tank when he can especially get the ball moving. It's going to be interesting how Billy Napier develops that, the passing game that Florida has. And then the other big question mark that I'm interested to know what happens with the first three games of their season, which, by the way, that is against Florida Atlantic, Utah, Kentucky, and USF. So a little bit of a daunting September schedule for the Florida Gators right off the bat. But certainly want to see how their defense does. That was really one of the main components that fell off for them as they struggled late in the year last year. So I am interested to see how they repair the defense quickly into the season, and then how they develop Anthony Richardson as well. But Ryan, I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to pick a win for Tennessee here. I think they get it done at home. I have not done that very often in the last couple of years when picking Tennessee schedules. But I really believe that this is a new book that we are opening, a Napier-Heupel era potentially at Florida and Tennessee. I think that Tennessee starts that book off right because, quite frankly, they have to.
You know, you're right, and I think you make a good point about the schedule. I think it's going to be really fascinating. Florida's going to be – I mean, Tennessee obviously has a test before that, but Florida's going to be real battle-tested. And Utah, off the bat, maybe doesn't – you know, it's a good – non-conference game, but I mean, Utah is very highly thought of going into the season. I think one of the favorites, if not the favorite, in the Pac-12. Them and USC in that Pac-12 South should be fascinating. Obviously, we know those Kentucky games have been really competitive over the last few years. So I'm going to go with Florida, not even really from a logical standpoint, just from I haven't seen it enough from Tennessee, and it seems like Tennessee's been the better team in so many of these games, and they haven't gotten it done. Doesn't mean they can't get it done, but I'll go with Florida in a game that feels like a little bit of a toss-up, maybe Tennessee with a little bit better team.
Okay, fascinating there. All right, Ryan, so then we move on to week 5, and that is Tennessee's bye week. Totally different placement than it was late in the season last year. So that's going to be fascinating. Then you get to week 6. Maybe the biggest question mark of Tennessee's season, at least to me, when you think about, hey, what are they going to have when Tennessee goes there? Tennessee's going to travel to LSU and Baton Rouge in week 6. The game before that, LSU will be going to Auburn. So that is another aspect to consider. But really, again, when I think about LSU, just what are the expectations? What are they going to look like? Now, Athlon Sports, they are predicted 8-4 with a fourth place finish in the West, I believe. But man, there's still a lot of question marks when you look at LSU, just because, hey, this is a talented team. They did lose some talent to the portal, but when you bring in one of the best coaches in Brian Kelly, you know that you're going to have success come. Will it be as fine-tuned in week 6 of the season? I think that's one of the interesting questions. What do you think about LSU this season?
Yeah, I think, I'd say probably this LSU game, and you can put the Florida game in it, but to me it's the LSU and South Carolina game are the two games I feel like are the biggest question marks of what you're going to see, what you're going to face. Both of those games being on the road, I think, being part of it, and LSU probably, I would say, more than any team on Tennessee's schedule, has an unresolved quarterback situation. They bring in Jaden Daniels at Arizona State transfer, and the guy that was as a freshman back in 2019 was phenomenal. I mean, he was really, really good. One of the best quarterbacks in the Pac-12. Obviously, the COVID season the next year they only played, I believe, you know, 4 or 5 games, and then last year was not very good for Arizona State, threw 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. So, and then you obviously have back, you have Miles Brennan as well, who has played a little bit off and on the last few years. It was injured last year, was expected to be the starter last year, was injured. And then Max Johnson, who was the starter last year, ended up going to Texas A&M. So anytime the quarterback situation is not resolved, I think that makes it a huge question mark. But you're right. Brian Kelly's a really good coach. I kind of like Florida, probably even to a bigger degree. I think they still have a lot of talent on that team, and they were just a complete mess off the field with Ed Orgeron on the last two seasons. So I think this is a game that almost is really similar to the Florida game, just flipped where Tennessee's on the road. And I think probably a couple point underdogs in this game. Obviously, coming off the bye week, I think is big for Tennessee. And you hit half of that where they get Auburn the week before. I think just as important is that the game's perfect spot for Tennessee on L2 schedule. You have it sandwiched between a road trip to Auburn and a road trip to Florida on both ends of those. And obviously, Auburn and Florida aren't quite as good as they usually are. So maybe there's a little bit less pressure there for LSU. But at the same time, LSU is not as good as they usually are. We don't expect them to be. So I think for Brian Kelly, that is a massive stretch. And I think Tennessee gets them at a little bit better spot than obviously they get Tennessee with the balls coming off the bye. So I think that's a fascinating game. And another, I think you look at the schedule, probably four games to me that are almost complete coin flips. And this is one of them.
Yeah, man. I think when you look at LSU, again, we know that they lost plenty of talent to the portal, but it's still LSU. They still have a great amount of talent on the roster. Look, I think if you're looking at LSU by the end of the season, maybe if you're talking about bowl season and things like that, could be a very dangerous team because, again, they have the pieces there. It's just a matter of how well does that come together? How well does that all gel and mesh in Brian Kelly's first season? That's why I think you're right. This is so fascinating because of the placement of this game. Yes, it is about halfway into the schedule, so it's not like they're just going to be starting things out like you kind of get, a Pittsburgh or something. But at the same time, they're not going to be as well-oiled as they might be late into the season. Then you're right, they got two games that are very tough sandwiched around them. This one is fascinating. And then again, we don't know the time yet, but I think that plays a little bit of a factor too. I mean, look, I don't think that Tennessee is going to go into this game scared, but we have to acknowledge just what the best college and football environments are like. And we have to kind of acknowledge that that does play an impact to some degree. All right. So Tennessee going to LSU. What do you think? Win or loss?
Yeah. Two more quick thoughts off what you said. I think those are good points. LSU does lose. They did lose quite a bit to the portal, but they probably brought in from a pure body standpoint about as many as anybody in the country. And a lot of really good players. Jarrell Cox, one that I think Tennessee, North Dakota State linebacker, Tennessee was in on. This stands out as well. And then the other thought kind of on the game time kickoff, you think night game, Tiger Stadium, that's, considered one of the best, if not the best environment in college football. I do not believe it'll be a night game. You have Texas A&M, Alabama that day, which has already been selected as CBS's annual night game of the year. And the way the contracts work, ESPN itself, ESPN, the channel, SEC Network can, but ESPN cannot put a game up against that night game the way the contracts work. So I think this game's probably going to be, if I had to guess, a 3:30 ESPN afternoon game, maybe a 3:30 CBS, the first game of the doubleheader, and then potentially a noon game as well. So I think Tennessee dodges a little bit of a bullet there.
Fascinating.
I will still pick LSU in this game tight, but I think this is going to be a really good game and a game that Tennessee really has a chance to go down and make a statement and win, because I think LSU is going to be a team that's going to be in the top 25 for a lot of the year. And I think Tennessee is plenty good to beat them and to go beat a brand like LSU, beat them on the road. And it's Brian Kelly's first year, but I don't think it's going to take long for Brian Kelly to have things humming. And I think that's going to be good. Is an opportunity, probably more because I think Florida, the image of Florida is so down with how bad they were to end the season. Obviously LSU had their struggles last year too. I think from a brand standpoint, this is Tennessee's best chance to kind of get a statement win that resonates kind of all across the country.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with just about everything you said. I think this is a winnable game for Tennessee if the pieces fall in the right direction. I'm going to pick a loss myself for Tennessee to LSU, but I think this is going to be, man, an exciting one nonetheless. All right, let's keep it moving. Next game up, week 7, Alabama comes to town to play in Neyland Stadium. The week before, they'll be taking on Texas A&M. And we all know about the offseason storylines that have been going on between Texas A&M and Alabama. Now, that is interesting. Does Alabama basically put in a whole lot of effort to that Texas A&M game and then fall flat in the next one versus Tennessee? Ryan, how big of a possibility do you think that is? How big of an impact do you think that'll be when the Crimson Tide come in town? I mean, we know that Tennessee, hey, give them credit. They played them tough for a couple good quarters there in Tuscaloosa last year. Certainly fell apart there in the second half, but it gave them a good run for their money in the first half. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start by saying I'm not going to pick Tennessee. Everything else, I'm going to be positive towards Tennessee.
I tried to say a little bit.
Tennessee to beat Alabama until they do, and I think Alabama is going to be the best team in the country probably by a good long shot this year. But with all that being said, again, another game I think Tennessee gets at a good time in the schedule. I think Tennessee, you go back to the whole Nick Saban era, Tennessee's team is built the way teams need to beat Alabama. It's an offensive first, or it's a pass first offense, an offense first team. That's their strength, a quarterback that can run extend plays in Hendon Hooker. And to your point, it is a Tennessee team that gets them at a very good time and played them well last year. And I think to me, that's when you look at this Alabama game and when you look at this Georgia game, those are the two things that stand out to me. I'm not going to pick Tennessee to win either of those games. Tennessee played Alabama well for three quarters last year. They were in the game through three quarters. And, oh, I don't have the numbers in front of me. It was about 28-0 in the fourth quarter. Got out of hand very quickly. Can Tennessee continue to push this game later and later into the game? Georgia was the same situation. They played them well for a half and couldn't get it into the second half. Does Tennessee have the depth to make this a game deep into the fourth quarter? And I think a couple of things that interest me about it is, one, this isn't a huge surprise, but from reading some Alabama stuff this offseason, I think this is viewed as one of the hardest games on Alabama's schedule, one of the games that they're most likely to trip up in. And two, what I take more to me is a bigger deal, or at least raises eyebrows. You've seen a handful of Vegas lines on this game that were about opened at about 7 to 10 points. And I think we talked about it on another podcast, or maybe just off air a while back. Tennessee's played Alabama within 10 points about two times in the last 15 years. So to me, that raised my eyebrow. And again, it's another thing that tells me that Tennessee has a chance to make this much more of a game than they have in the past, and much more of a game than you would expect, given the fact that not only is Alabama Alabama, I think they're going to be one of their better Alabamas we've seen over the past, maybe not the past few years. 2 years ago, they were amazing with Mac Jones and all that offense. But I think they're going to be a lot better than they were last year. And I do think they're going to be the best team in the country.
Yeah, they return arguably the two best players in college football, and Bryce Young and Will Anderson Jr. right there on both sides of the ball. That's going to be tough. I really, frankly, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I do not think that Tennessee is going to win this game, but nonetheless, I think that there can be positive takeaways. I would want to see Tennessee come out to a fast start against Alabama. We're going to see Tennessee come out to a fast start in the second half as well. I think there are things you can take away, just like the game last year. I think even though Tennessee kind of collapsed at the end, they were certainly in need of that bye week that was coming following that game in Tuscaloosa. You still look back at that even now and say, yeah, but there were good things that Tennessee did in that game. And then you've seen how that kind of has reverberated throughout the offseason into what you're talking about now, Ryan. The fact that, hey, people are looking at this game from an Alabama perspective as this could be an interesting one for us. This could be one where we potentially trip up, or you look at the lines or whatever it is. I think that even in a loss, you can still kind of build that momentum. Look, Tennessee does not have to set their standard of the season against Alabama this year. I don't think they will. But nonetheless, I think that you can get good things out of it. That's kind of my last thought on that. I do not think that Tennessee wins, but still can find some good momentum and find some good takeaways.
Yeah, and I mean, if Tennessee's going to get to where they want to go long term, it's a stepping stone. It's a process, and I think for Tennessee, kind of like what I was saying earlier, just you got to be competitive in these games against Alabama and Georgia before you can truly expect to win them. Which doesn't mean you can't pop up and pull an upset in one of those games, but if generally speaking, your chances of winning are going to be better the more competitive you can play them and the more confidence those guys have going year from year, seeing that, hey, we're not far off. So I think that's a good point.
All right, Ryan. So moving on to week 8, this is going to be Tennessee hosting UT Martin. And on my notes, I just have one word, and I have yep. It's kind of my only thought. We can keep it moving. I believe that's Tennessee's homecoming. I always enjoy homecoming, no matter what college it's at. Homecoming is always fun. That's kind of my biggest thought for UT Martin in week 8, homecoming.
Yeah, no, you're right. And FCS team, it's been kind of middle of the road FCS program, I believe, in the OVC. So, yeah, correct. Easy win for Tennessee, if not a lot bigger problems.
All right, so then we move on to week 9. Tennessee gets Kentucky at home. Now, this kind of goes back to, again, what I was talking about at the beginning. This is a chance where you set the tone in that first year last year of, hey, we are going to play hard-nosed football against you guys, and we're going to do what it takes to win. You saw Tennessee going arguably get their best win of the season. Is that arguable? Or is that was their best win last year?
I think that was the best one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was the only ranked. I think it was the only ranked.
It was the only ranked win. Yeah.
Okay. So Tennessee goes up there to Kentucky in a night game in cold. It was a freezing cold November night and gets that win and just very dramatic fashion. I think that was a great start for Tennessee for this. And I would like to see Tennessee try to continue that momentum. I think that's what's most important for them in this game. Now, when you're looking at Kentucky, they lose Wandale Robinson. That was the star just athlete who did a whole lot of things for their offense last year. But Will Levis is still back around. Kentucky returns about 5 returners on defense, I believe even less on offense with 4. So this is an interesting team, but still one that is going to compete. I think you've seen Mark Stoops have success and be able to find his navigation through the SEC East, through this non-conference schedule. I don't know what Kentucky's season is going to look like. I think it does look pretty good by the end. But I don't think they get through Tennessee. I think that Tennessee stops them at Neyland Stadium. Kentucky has a bye week before, which is favorable for them. You get a lot of time to prepare for that offense. So that's going to be – if this was maybe switched and they had a week to prepare before Tennessee went to Lexington, maybe you have a little bit of a different story. But I think that this is one that Tennessee wins. I think that this would be a emphatic win for that rivalry if Tennessee could continue to do so. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think you're right in that Kentucky loses a lot, which is certainly a big deal, but Mark Stoops, I think, has shown or proved that there's not a huge drop-off. I mean, obviously, they're not reloading like the top teams in the conference, but the rebuilding years aren't massive collapses by any means or huge letdowns. So I think Kentucky will have a good team. I think I definitely think they're going to be better than Missouri and South Carolina. I would guess they would be better than South Carolina, though I think that one is South Carolina, to me, the biggest question mark in Tennessee's schedule. We'll get to it in a second. But yep. You're right. They lose. You look at what Kentucky had on offense last year, and it was really weapons-wise, it was two-tong. I mean, you had Wandale Robinson who's gone, and then Chris Rodriguez, junior running back, who played great in that game against Tennessee. I believe ran for 1,200, 1,300 yards, something like that. He's back, but there does seem to be a lot of questions about what his status is going to be going into the season. Had a DUI earlier this summer. Or earlier in the offseason, and I think that's still things are kind of up in the air with what the situation is with him. And obviously, I think the big – when you look at Kentucky, Will Levis has gotten a lot of hype this offseason. Personally, I don't really see it. Even you go back to that Tennessee game last year, he had some solid numbers, but the horrible mistake on the interception of Lante Taylor and a handful of bad throws on third downs, too, that let Tennessee get off the field. So I think this will – be a somewhat competitive game, but again, I think this is a game Tennessee wins by a touchdown, maybe even 10 points. And I think it's, again, you talked about it in your intro, your expectations, kind of trying to further your dominance, and dominance may not be the right word, but as a program, you expect Tennessee to be better than Kentucky, than South Carolina, than Missouri. This is an opportunity for Tennessee to, as Heupel builds this thing and tries to get it going higher and higher, to compete with the Alabamas and the Georgias and, you know, the Florida, LSU, all those teams of the world. You need to be able to kind of keep those teams behind you, under you consistently. And I think that's a big game for Tennessee to do that.
Yeah, that is spot on. And that's how I've thought about really this race in the SEC East for a while. Look, we're about to talk about Georgia, but when we do, Tennessee is not catching Georgia this year. But what they can do is, again, you have a lot of opportunities here to start or continue a little bit of established dominance over the rest of the teams in those East. I think that is the next step that you have to take before eventually challenging for that number one spot in the division. So I think that this is a very important game for Tennessee. But moving on to week 10, Tennessee travels down to Athens to take on Georgia right before Georgia will be taking on the Gators. Ryan, I don't have a lot of confidence in this one. I think, again, it's a lot of the same kind of things that we talked about with the Alabama game. If there are takeaways to be made, great. That is important, but I'm not expecting this to be a win for Tennessee by any stretch.
No, I'm not either. I think what would be interesting, or what you wish for Tennessee, is if you could flip the locations of those Alabama and Georgia games. I do think Georgia will take a step back from last year, and I think if you got them in Knoxville, your chances of pulling an upset maybe aren't as far-fetched as people nationally would think. They lose a lot on defense. I think they have six defensive players drafted in the first round in the NFL draft. And as much as Georgia on the defensive side of the ball has become like Alabama, where they're going to reload, they're not going to rebuild, you don't lose that many guys and don't take any step back. Now, by here in November, week 10 of the season, what I believe is the first week of November, you know, maybe they have everything figured out and they're extremely, extremely good, maybe just as good as they were last year defensively. But I think there's a little bit of opportunity here. And like I kind of said with the Alabama game, because he played Georgia well for a half last year, they were in it for a half. Can they get deeper and deeper into the game and play well and give themselves a chance in the fourth quarter to pull off the upset? Doesn't mean necessarily they will or have, you know, be leading in the fourth quarter, but are you down by a touchdown with the ball at some point in the fourth quarter? Or are you making Georgia sweat? I think is a major, major question for the Vols.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is going to be I think you said that very, very well. All right, my friend, moving on to Missouri. Tennessee comes back home after being in Athens. They come back to Neyland Stadium to take on the Missouri Tigers. That will be Saturday, November 12th. When you're looking at Missouri, they play Kentucky the week before. Connor Basliak, he was their quarterback last year, transferred out after Eli Drinkwitz started with Brady Cook in the bowl game. And then the other kind of note that I have about Missouri that this is not a game that worries me, by the way, but the interesting thing is the carousel of defensive coordinators under Eli Drinkwitz continues to turn. Even going back to his time before Missouri, I believe that he's had either four or five different defensive coordinators in the last 4 or 5 years, whichever one that is respectively. But they're going to try it again this year after having a bad defense last year on the field. I think you certainly saw Tennessee take advantage of that in the first half. This is not a game that worries me. What about you?
No, I agree. I think this is the game that Tennessee takes care of. And you look at Missouri all offseason, seems like they were linked to a ton of quarterbacks in the transfer portal, and it didn't really land any of them. And you're right, defense was just a disaster for a lot of last season. And I think this is a game that at home is not one that Tennessee is going to be really tested in a ton. Maybe, you know, Missouri comes up and can play them close, but I think pretty obviously, to at least from my standpoint, when you look at Tennessee's 8 SEC games, this is very clearly the second easiest one behind Vanderbilt. I think probably a pretty big gap after that.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. All right, so Ryan, if you're looking at what both you and I have on the schedule so far, that would have been bowl eligible after that win for both the schedules that we predicted so far. So after that is just, you know, adding a bonus with Tennessee's final two games. But that leads you into what you have kind of teased a couple of times now as one of the most interesting games on Tennessee's schedule. Go ahead and tell me why you think that.
Well, I think for a lot of reasons. And one, South Carolina, I think, got a lot of hype for how they ended last season. And, you know, credit to them. You know, they won a couple games. They played well in the bowl game and beat North Carolina. And, you know, Shane Beamer splits the Steve Spurrier first-year award, the head coaching award with Josh Heupel. But you look at the big wins. They beat Florida, which was an absolute free fall, absolute collapse. And they beat Auburn. It was an absolute free fall, absolute collapse. I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but Florida and Auburn might have combined for one win that wasn't against an FCS opponent in the month of November. And I think those wins got hyped up a little more. But at the same time, hey, those are wins, and they're good wins. And then I think, to me, maybe the biggest reason why it's – there's a lot of reasons I think this game is a fascinating question mark heading into the season is – Spencer Rattler going to be Oklahoma transfer South Carolina quarterback is, to me, the biggest question mark, the biggest floor. Maybe I guess Anthony Richardson you can put in there too, but the biggest floor, the ceiling, that range to me feels massive for what you can expect for him. And that was a South Carolina offense that was largely really bad last season, and a lot of that goes to they didn't have good quarterback play. So can Rattler come in and play well, and is there enough around him, especially the receiver spots? I think they have a handful of solid running backs, but is there enough at the receiver spots to elevate him? And I think the last thing that makes it interesting is just it's the second to last game of the year. It's the latest Tennessee has played South Carolina, I believe, since the 30s. This game's never played that late. That's essentially the point I'm trying to make here. And what does South Carolina season look like? What does Tennessee season look like? It's just hard to project a game that far away for two teams that I think have a lot of fluctuation in what they could do this season. So, and the fact that it's on the road, I think, makes it a little bit more of an equalizing challenge, a little bit more. Again, kind of like I said with the Pitt game, I feel like if it was in Knoxville, you feel really good about Tennessee's chances to win. But with it not being in Knoxville, I think this is a game that's going to be, you know, Tennessee a field goal favorite or something like that. Again, that's me projecting it before these teams play 10 games before that that will completely change what they look like. But to me, it's a huge question mark. And I do think Tennessee wins, but South Carolina probably – more so than any team in the SEC. I'm just completely fascinated by going into this season.
Yeah, you know, it's to touch on a bunch of things that you said, but first, it's kind of fascinating. Tennessee's final two games of the season at South Carolina and at Vanderbilt, both of them will be playing Florida the week before, same as Georgia, who is Tennessee's fourth to last game of the season as well. So you're following a lot of Florida matchups. I don't know if Tennessee fans want Florida to be good after they play because of that, maybe beat up a little competition late in the season. But man, you hit the nail on the head for a lot of reasons why this is interesting. Spencer Rattler being kind of the first and foremost, but I am curious to know what exactly South Carolina will be fighting for at that point in the season, right? That's kind of, to me, why this is such a hard game to predict. This is going to be very late in the season, Ryan. I think you're right. If Spencer Rattler has kind of the floor that he showed at his previous destination or at previous location being in Oklahoma, and things really do not get off to a good start there, then I don't know if South Carolina really could be playing for too much come that point. Now, maybe Spencer Rattler is pretty darn good. Maybe they are playing for a little bit more than what they're expected to. Are they fighting for a bowl game? Have they already secured a bowl game with Clemson as the final game of the season? Has Spencer Rattler pushed them to potentially an 8-win season? I don't know where they're going to be in that. So to me, that is what makes them a little bit of a wild card there out in week 12. I agree with you. I do think that Tennessee is going to win this game, though. I think that, again, it's a big statement that Tennessee needs to make to be able to put them in the rearview mirror, to be able to go into next season really as kind of the 1-2, I think, with Georgia. That would be ultimately one of Tennessee's goals coming out of this season, is to be really defined as one of the top two headhunters in the East. I think this is a game that Tennessee can win. I think this is a game that Tennessee will win. But I'm really fascinated to see kind of what South Carolina looks like at that point in the season, and then ultimately what they're fighting for with really one game left, and that would be Clemson, who we would think that could be an expected loss. So interesting matchup there in week 12, but I think we both have wins. Is that correct?
Yeah, that definitely. I do think Tennessee gets the win, and it kind of to what they're fighting for. To me, unless the bottom falls off, I think they're going to be fighting for a good bit, because you know, this isn't the NFL. Yeah. It's not – you can be – Let's say they're 6-5. I mean, in theory, or 6-4 going in this game, you don't think they're going to beat Clemson the last week of the year. So yeah, in theory, they're one today. What's the difference in 6-6 and 7-5? But it's college football. Those games mean a ton.
Oh yeah.
And then on the other end, if they're 5-5 going in this game with Clemson looming, this is kind of going to be the game they need to win to make a bowl game. So unless the bottom just absolutely falls out and they're 4-6 or 3-7 going in this game, I do think this is the game that's going to mean a lot to South Carolina. And it kind of furthers, you know, the point I made earlier about Tennessee trying to continue to kind of keep these teams in the SEC that have traditionally been under them. Even with, you know, Jeremy Pruitt struggles, Tennessee's on a 3-game winning streak against South Carolina right now. I think it's important, and kind of the same way that Billy Napier is in the degree that he's first-year coach. Shane Beamer came in at the same time at SEC East rival, at the same time as Josh Heupel. I think it's important for Tennessee to kind of continue to show that their program is a step ahead of Shane Beamer in South Carolina's is. Heupel kind of continues to build into his third year.
Yeah, I will agree. And that's just going to be a fascinating environment to be at. That's certainly one of the ones that I'm most anticipating going to, because again, I think that you're right. Like, I think they will be in that position of this could be either for the bowl, you know, to seal a bowl berth, or it could be to just get that seventh win, which is something that would be massive for them. So I think that this can be really interesting and a really fun matchup when it comes. Speaking of streaks, Ryan, we both have them on a 2-win streak after beating Missouri and South Carolina. Do they finish that off with a win against Vanderbilt on the road in Smashville?
Yes, I believe they do. And boy, you talking about streaks, that just kind of popped in my head. Think about it. Tennessee's looking to that's not correct. I was about to say a stat that is incorrect, but Tennessee has had some struggles in Nashville and Vanderbilt in the past. And, but you know, Vanderbilt has said about South Carolina, the bottom falling out for them potentially in the season. The bottom has fallen out for Vanderbilt's program over the last few years. What was not a good first year for Clark Lee. I don't think that's necessarily all Clark Lee's fault, but that was a really bad first season. And it started with former Tennessee offense coordinator Randy Sanders taking ETSU up there and beating them by 3 touchdowns. So we'll see if Andy can make any progress in year two under Clark Lee, but this is a game that I would really be shocked if it's competitive.
Yeah, I would very much agree. I think this is kind of Tennessee's final game to get out of the way before bowl season comes up. And you and I both have, with predicting Vanderbilt a win, I believe that you and I both have a final record of 8-4 with our one difference. You have Tennessee losing to Florida. I have Tennessee losing to Pittsburgh. But then other than that, it is losses to LSU, Georgia, and Alabama, which I think, especially when you're factoring those last three, there's no shame in losing to any of those three if you're Tennessee. I think those are losses that'll be, you know, there at the end of the season that are respectable, that are nothing to really scoff at. It's really those first four games that there are just so much intrigue just because of the, I don't want to say newness, but just because of the early season jitters and things along that nature. So that's a really fascinating spot for Tennessee, and the spot that we disagree on, but still come to the same conclusion before the bowl season hits.
Yeah, and to me, you look at Tennessee's schedule, and I think five games, in my opinion, that I would not be surprised here sitting before the season if either team won. It's big game, it's Florida game, it's the LSU game, it's a Kentucky game, and it's South Carolina game. So yeah, I think we both have Tennessee going 3-2 in that stretch, I think.
And that Tennessee would make sense with yeah, those five teams.
It was
some kind of combination.
Yes. And I do think, you know, Tennessee is probably, when you look at the median of those five teams, Tennessee is better than the median. But and that's why I think 3-2 makes more sense than 2-3. But I think that's why 8-4 is the most logical prediction. I wouldn't be surprised by 7-5. I wouldn't be surprised by 9-3. But I think that's why you find 8-4 right there in the middle being the one that makes the most sense. And I think when you look at those games, you got three of those games on the road to two of them at home, and why you think Tennessee's better than some of those teams. I think that also is a big reason why going 9-3, well, it's not impossible, to me, is not the most logical pick for Tennessee's season.
Yep, I certainly hear you there. All right, Ryan, just a recap. Your 13 weeks of the Tennessee season, Ball State at home, at Pitt, Akron, Florida, bye week in week five. Then you travel to LSU, home against Alabama, home against UT Martin, home against Georgia, UT Martin, home against Kentucky. Then you travel to Georgia in week 10. Then you return home against Missouri. Then you travel on the road for the final two games of the season, South Carolina and Vanderbilt. Certainly an interesting schedule. Certainly some interesting similarities and differences from last year's team and schedule. I think this is going to be ultimately, it's going to be an exciting season for Tennessee, but I think there are, again, just to kind of close where we started it, I think there are opportunities for Tennessee to make a couple waves. And I'm not really saying that, you know, am I going to believe that Tennessee is going to be challenging for the SEC East crown? No, not that kind of wave. But I do think that Tennessee has the opportunity to make some waves, to put some of the other competitors behind them in an efficient and in a really definitive manner. Obviously, anything can happen next season, but when you start that streak, when you can kind of build up a 2-0 streak against Kentucky in the Josh Heupel era, if you can somehow start the Billy Napier era at Florida with a loss, I think those are big things for Tennessee to continue and take forward in the future to build momentum off of, especially in things like recruiting, which we know that has been hot lately this summer as well. So that's just kind of my final thoughts for the season. Do you have any other final thoughts like that?
Yeah, I'll really build off of yours. And you know, you said you don't expect Tennessee to make a whole lot of waves in winning the SEC East. And while I don't think Tennessee's going to win the SEC East either, you know, you look at the schedule, and to make waves in winning the SEC East, to be a threat, to me, you know, Tennessee beats Florida and LSU, and then you're going into late October, and Tennessee's in, they're 1,000% in the hunt to win the SEC East. And you're really Kentucky win at home, a game that we both predicted Tennessee to win. And if Tennessee beats Florida and LSU, I would feel even better about how good Tennessee's going to be to win that Kentucky game. And then you're headed to Athens in the first weekend of November, and if you win that game, you control your own destiny. And, you know, I'm doing a thing that I'm sure Vol fans all across the South or all across wherever they live are doing. Big breakout season, we win the SECs. And Grant, I don't think Tennessee's going to beat Georgia. And I picked them to lose that Florida game. I picked them to lose that LSU game. But at the same time, I think those games are near toss-ups. And if you win those two games in late September and then in early October, all of a sudden you're late into the season, you're over halfway through the season, and you're making those waves that you're talking about, and you're in the discussion nationally. And I don't think even at that point many people are going to be thinking Tennessee's going to beat Georgia and win the SEC East. But you're in the conversation, and at least Georgia fans are maybe not worried about you, but they're going to tell you they're not worried about you, but they're going to be arguing with you on Twitter and saying how you're not a threat, which they don't even have to talk about you not being a threat right now. And they haven't had to the last 5 years. So that's kind of where I stand on things. And I think the way the schedule plays out for Tennessee, if you're able to win really just one of those Georgia and LSU games, I think you're going to have a chance to have a lot of momentum carry into late in the season, kind of to your original point.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, even though neither one of us are necessarily predicting it, that doesn't mean that we don't see the path for, look, if Tennessee has a great September and goes 4-0, then you completely change the predictions around. Maybe some things, maybe you're going back and scrubbing some things or changing some things around, but then you're starting to talk about a little bit of a higher ceiling on the season. You talk about 9 wins, you talk about 10 wins, something along those lines. This can be a big September for Tennessee with a couple of tough matchups, especially that week 2. That's going to be fascinating. But Ryan, that is about all I got on the complete schedule look through. Obviously, we will talk about it more. We will talk about it on the website as well throughout the season until September 1. But that's I feel pretty good about everything that we went through. I don't think there's any games that I would want to go back and change my prediction or you know, change up something I said. I feel pretty good about that kind of look through the Tennessee schedule.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a lot of toss-up games, and I'm far from a football genius. So, yeah, I could look very stupid here in a couple of months. But that's kind of where, before fall camp starts, before media days, obviously there's a lot of stuff to be resolved even before we get to the first game. But from 6 weeks out, or I think it's actually 50 days out, so I guess it's more than 6 weeks. But however far out we are from the season, that's kind of my general thoughts on Tennessee football.
Yeah, look, I also agree. I will say this, and I've told you this numerous times. I've said this on the podcast before. I've said this a lot of times in my life before. I am bad at picking games. Like, there's just – I don't bet. I don't do any of that. I've lost plenty of money doing that. There's just something in me that has a tough time picking games. So who knows where we stand on this. Could go either direction. But, right, we got SEC Media Days coming up next week in Birmingham. Looking forward to that, talking to – who is it? It's going to be Josh Heupel, Trayvon Flowers, Hendon Hooker, and Cedric Tillman. Am I correct?
You are correct. That's it.
There we go. So be sure to be on the lookout for just a lot of Tennessee news and coverage that is going to be coming your way next week. And then pretty much when that event is over, by the time we know it, we're going to be in August, fall camp is going to be started, and then the season is going to be right around the corner. So, Ryan, to me, kind of the football season begins next week with SEC Media Days. A little bit of time in between, but not a lot until the season starts. I know I'm excited. I know you are as well. And I know this is going to be it's going to be some sort of thrilling season one way or another, one way or the other.
No, you're right. Always entertaining with Tennessee football, good, bad, or ugly.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, Ryan, well, let's go ahead and get out of here. As always, if you want to go and follow Ryan on Twitter, which is a good idea, you can follow him over at rshump00. If you want to go and follow me, that is at @Rick_Butler. But first and foremost, make sure you are following at Rocky Top Insider. Get the work from both of us and just all of the different things that are going on in the Rocky Top Insider networks. You can go and follow all of our social media. You can go and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Of course, we're going to be keeping you updated with all the latest things that are going on in the Tennessee athletics world right now. I know it's the offseason, so we got a lot of recruiting news right now, but don't worry, we are building up to football, building up to basketball, building up to women's basketball as well with Kelly Harper. There are a lot of fun things going on. So, Ryan, that's about all I got. You good to get out of here? You good to go?
Yeah, let's get out of here. I think we got it all.
All right, my friend. Well, let's close this thing down. Happy Wednesday to everybody out there. You can go and find us on Twitter. Otherwise, we will see you next time. This has been the Rocky Top Insider Press Pass.